Greetings to you all in the name of the Most High, greet you one and all. And all that goes on upon the earth at such a time as this. Blessings to you and to all those that are around you, that are on the path of truth. We want the best for all of humanity, but there's still choice and free will involved in all of this. And right now we're seeing globally the consequences of choices, of decisions, of abrogating responsibilities to others that we should have always been taking on ourselves and should have been mindful of ourselves. Greetings. Okay, so many, many things going on. A lot to say, a lot to cover. But first of all, peace. Peace be with you. Peace was given to us, and we can walk in peace, and we can walk in a place of being above the lower vibrations of fear and everything below that, which is what the world has always tried to do to us, the world system, mind you, which profits and extracts when we're at a lower state. So that system is designed to do things out of fear and in fear, and that's why it works so hard to keep you in a state of fear. You know, you can look at any situation in your life and be able to address that same situation from either a place of courage or a place of fear, from a place of logic and reason and understanding, or a place of scarcity and panic. Now, which one do you think will you get a better decision from, a better outcome from, more able to see and more able to decide and choose from? So obviously when you are able to, you remember when you were a kid, they teach you to, when you're crossing the road, stop, look, and listen. Okay, so if you don't stop, look, and listen, if you don't pause, if you don't pause and you don't allow for that space to stop, look, and listen, you can get run over by a car, right? So these are very simple principles, but they're life principles. And if you just go running into the street and you don't pay attention to your surroundings and you don't process what's going on around you, it's a good way to get hurt. And so as a child, you learn these things. Now, simple things, but as an adult, think about how far we've slipped from even some of the basic stuff like that. Just basic stuff. Stop, look, and listen, right? Well, okay, with what's going on around the world. Stop, look, and listen. So, in this regard, right? Now, okay, the scriptures, we've been instructed in the scriptures not to worry. You know, don't worry. For sufficient for the day is the evil thereof. Don't worry, take heart, for I have overcome the world. Right? Okay. So we're instructed not to worry. Because what worry, also part of what worry does is it strips your ability to think and to understand. Now, we know and recognize that we've not been given clear information. You've got to sift through things and make sense of stuff to know what's really going on, right? And that requires some study. That requires some understanding. That requires a little bit of looking back into history in order to understand from what's happened before that it'll happen again. History repeats itself. Why do they say that? Because, you know, history is historically is patterns. And so, you know, when people don't recognize the pattern, well, it happens again and again. So right now, you know, I just got off the phone with from somebody in Sri Lanka, and we were talking about this. And, you know, the situation over there, now what people see there, and they've officially declared now that the currency in the country's economic system has collapsed, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, so let's take a look at that from a little bit of a step back, right? Okay, there are several things at play which created a perfect storm there. And if you'd seen historically what had happened in other places, you could have predicted, right, this didn't have to be some prophetic utterance. This is just a simple prediction, just because it's you know, if you go jump in a lake, you're going to get wet. That's just what happens, right? So when you have the combination of extreme corruption, professional incompetence, a lack of the people themselves willing to take responsibility and wanting somebody else to always do the work for them and someone else to save them. When you have that in combination with fiat currency and all of the corruption that goes around fiat, because fiat is fraud, okay? Fiat is fraud, and here's the reason why. Sound money, and actually even in even the original Constitution of the United States the Constitution of America had the provision for sound money. Gold, silver, or a backed currency backed by precious metals. Now, why sound money? Because when you have a central bank, and a central banks, when they have the ability to, at will, print more claim checks, those are just receipts. They're receipts for something, right? That's what the Sri Lankan rupee was. It's just a receipt for supposedly some sort of value. But when they just can turn that on at any moment, they inflate away the value that you had before that happened, because by there being something that has intrinsic value backing it, that is, so you can't, if you're backing something by gold, if you want more gold, you have to go find it, source it, dig it out of the ground, refine it, put it into a unit of account, a unit of measure. There's work that goes into it. So you can't just go and issue a receipt for gold if you don't have it there. And so when they started doing fractional backing of a currency, that's the first step towards just no backing, because eventually that's where you go. Right? This is why central bank digital currencies is one of the dumbest ideas in the history of fiscal policy around the world for anything that would be of any use to the people. Now, as a term, as a tool of draconian control and attempted manipulation and use and extraction of the people, and artificially creating, inflating value and transferring wealth to whoever has the hands on the levers of that, sure, that's the tool for that. But any sane person would reject that straight out of the gate as absolute insanity. And whoever even brings that up as a conversation point should be laughed off of the podium or the stage. Because there's nothing behind it whatsoever that gives legitimacy for that being what is required for a functional society, which is sound money. You have to have sound money for a functional society if you're going to trade and if you're going to transact with each other. And that sound money has to be based on real assets with intrinsic value behind it. And if you're not going to be bartering a cow or a piece of land or the use of a piece of land or anything of value in that, and that's not what you're going to be trading with other people, and you have to have some sort of measure and some sort of unit of account to be able to do that with. Period. There that has to be there. And it's not crypto, guys. The word crypt is death. So it's not death-o. That doesn't work. Because in that world too, listen, the only thing of any value in that world at all was the was supposedly, there's a question about this one too, supposedly the distributed immutable ledger, right? That's it. When it comes to use of energy, horrendously terrible. In 2018, the Bitcoin blockchain used more energy than all of the data centers in the entire world to keep that blockchain up and out. At the same time, people can't keep the power on. So how is that a solution? That was actually a design flaw that nobody really wants to talk about. But when they deployed the Bitcoin blockchain, Satoshi thought, whoever Satoshi is behind that, there's a lot of questions about if that's tied to the intelligence communities. How did that get a pass when when people that make a water-based running car get killed? How does something like that slip through? Anyways, that's another question. But design flaw was, oh, you've got all these CPUs, computer processing units out there that just have extra ability to reinforce this blockchain. So there'll be plenty of that out there, and we can just deploy it like that and use that. What has happened? That there became a race for CPU power, and then a race for power. And to the point now where what should have been decentralized is actually extremely centralized, based on who's got access to cheap power and the most powerful processing units, ASICs processors. So that part didn't work. And so really the one benefit and the one use case for this overall, yeah, they're pushing hard to have a case for it. But it's a really ugly, you know, tool at this point. But in comparison to fiat, it's better because fiat is terrible. Fiat, central bank fiat, is the worst because historically all fiat all around the world has gone to zero. There's not a single fiat currency in the world that has not gone to zero. I think the average is 28 years before there's just a collapse. And it's just by its design, it collapses. And then they put another one up, and then it collapses. And they put another one up, and then it collapses. Again and again and again and again and again. So definition of insanity, do the same thing, and you expect a different result, right? It's not going to be any different. So, the need for sound money. So if there's anybody that is listening to this from Sri Lanka, in the middle of everything else that's going on there, there have to be people working on a sound monetary system for the people to be able to transact going forward. There's other supply side issues and all the rest of that for all goods and services there. 100% get that. But you gotta have a sound money system. And this goes for the entire world. Now that sound money system doesn't have to be controlled by any kind of centralized source, not at all. It just has to be units of account and units of measure that are backed by something, some real asset with intrinsic value, and they can exchange between each other at a set rate that makes sense. And you skip the usury. That's the thing that can also be cut out right now, because that's a place, a light touch on tech, where you don't need those heavy transaction fees because there's no work to be done. It's just a ledger. It's just a swapping on an account book, on a ledger. You don't have to have some guy sitting there with a candle in the middle of the night writing in dusty books and having to feed five people coming in into the office to do that kind of thing. This is now just a piece of light code that doesn't have to be that heavy, as long as it can't be hacked or cheated on. And there's real things backing that and can be checked and can be verified. So listen, we're in now the time of a rough patch, right? That's going to be coming up in and around everybody all over the world, different times, different places, things will break out. So, okay, here's some things to think about, right? I'm going to just give you some things. You might have to go back and listen to this one again We're at the 15-minute mark here in this talk. So just some things to think about when there is systems failures, right? Okay. Energy. And energy in different forms. Stored energy and then the continued supply of energy. Another one, transportation. Both powered transportation and your own man-made transportation. Another one, communications. Clean and essential communications. So where you're able to actually get information in and out. I say this when you have militaries attacking countries, the first thing they do is take out the other country's communications. And the first thing that they do is stand up their own communications. Communications is as important as for being able to do things as, because how else are you going to coordinate? How else are you going to know what's going on? How else are you going to express needs? You know, we take certain things for granted, but you have to have some forms of communications in place. Water. You have to have some form of storable and a source of water that you know what is the closest source of water to where you are if you are unable to get water in the current situation. So then another one, food, both stored and sources of food and preparation of that food. Basic medical, in being able to take care of ongoing medical needs that you might have and being able to treat certain things that might come up. Security and enforcement, you know, guns and friends, that's one. Dogs, you know, when I've been in places where systems have broken down and by having a couple of dogs that did a lot for securing a place where you could sleep at night. You have to be looking at coordination with other people that are like-minded and how you'll be able to do that. So, you know, you've got to, in times when systems fail, the weakest chain, there's going to be, so in some regards, you'll be able to bridge certain gaps if people are working on the solutions and you don't have to do as much preparation. In other places where people are not doing any kind of preparation and there is no gap bridging, then you've got to look for standalone solutions for you and your family and also for some extended coordinated efforts with other people that are like-minded. So that's where your community and your local community come in. So this changes country by country, place by place, depending on what the setup is there. If you're in colder places in the world, you're going to have to look at that and to address for seasonal changes. If you're in tropical places or more temperate climates, it's more merciful. It's more forgiving, right? So those are just things that you have to think about, and think forward and just think through your normal use of things. So a minimum of planning for a two-week disruption of services is that's just a normal thing that any household should do. And the reason is because you can have anything come up. You can have a flash flood, you can have a fire, you can have some sort of systems disruption, some sort of logistics chain breaks down. There can be a lot of things that can happen where you just need to be able to bridge a short gap of a couple of weeks, right? So that's something that just think through that for your place. And that may be, you know, that may be a couple of gas cans. That may be a 55-gallon drum of water. Or if there's a well close by, just knowing how to get that and clean that water. You got to look through your personal situation and just look at that and plan a bit for that. Just so that you're not caught unaware. Because one of the things that the globalists are trying to do, and these are the controllers of the old dying legacy system, that those that are part of the system of the devil, if you would, is that they're trying to collapse things in so that they can force people in, and they can force people in to having to make decisions and choices for themselves that they wouldn't make any other way. Now, if you need water, and they're the ones controlling the water, if you need food, and they're the ones controlling the food. If they've stripped away all the value or locked away your currency and your money, or control your money, you see it now. You see it more and more and more clearly. And this is why you have to take steps. Just start taking steps and start looking at all of these things. Now, this is where a lot of people don't want to be responsible for that. Because, you know, people have been taught to be lazy. And frankly, laziness is a path to your own long-term misery and your own long-term destruction. So it's you are the one that you are the one who ultimately is destroyed from laziness. It's you. Now you might feel like you know, you've got a sweet gig or a cushy gig or something else somewhere else that allows you to be that or to do that. But think about it like this. If there's no value add to what you're doing in that place so that you can be lazy and you can be sitting on your hands, well, how quick do you think that can be cut and nobody's going to miss that function that you were doing there? You see? Apply yourself. If you have this space, apply yourself. Learn things. Work on things. Build new skills. I'll tell you one. Since this last fall, I've been doing gardening and working on growing food. And you know what? A lot of stuff I tried didn't work. But I'm learning. And the process of learning is I'm learning some new skills. I learned how to sprout stuff. That's exciting. Listen, you know, you get those clear plastic tins that you might, clear plastic boxes that things like strawberries come in, and because they've got the holes in the bottom, you put some good soil in there, you put your seeds in there, you keep that damp, put it in the sun, and because it, when you close the top of it, it holds the moisture in, so it's like a little greenhouse. I've had so many things sprout. So many seeds sprout, and then I've been able to turn those into massive plants. Not all the time, because sometimes it's seasonally, it's not the time for those specific plants, but better than not doing anything, and better than not trying. Listen, you've got to try and learn and allow yourself the space to mess up. It's fine. At least you're trying. At least you're learning. So, you know, on one side, you've got to look at some of these things of bridging these uncomfortable and turbulent times. Yes. And then you also have to be working now on the parallel systems that are going to have to come up that all of humanity is going to have to use, because systems are going to be failing. And when there's systems failures, unless you work to build the parallel systems that can support the all, unless you do that, it's what you're going to end up having is you're just going to be waiting for the people that built the last failing system to build that again, or to build another version of that and bring that back to you, which is your slavery and which is your failure and your suffering. So we see things very clearly now, you know. The instructions in the scriptures was to go to do the greater works, right? So, you know, this is not, you know, I remember one time when I was in India, and there was a minister friend of mine over there, and he said this thing to me, and it struck me. This is during some of my traveling days. You know, he said, most people want to know the will of God for their lives so that they can consider it, not so that they can actually do it. And it's very interesting to me, that one, because, you know, like, it's true. Most people, they want to know so many of these things that are going on around them just so that they can consider it. They don't actually want to do something with it. But listen, knowledge and understanding do no good for you without application. You have to apply. You have to use these things. It's better to know one-fourth as much as you do and apply the good and the knowledge and the understanding that you have that will be benefit to yourself and the all. Do what is of benefit to yourself and others. Don't be selfish. It is in your... You can be mindful, but do your service that's going to help the all. And in the process of doing that, society and everything around you is going to be very, very nice, but you got to apply it. You've got to work towards that. You've got to call evil out when you see it. So yes, there's some very evil people in positions of what used to be historic control, but those are crumbling and fading. They don't have an answer for anything. They've never actually had to build or create anything. They've always extracted from you. So they've extracted the value from you, and now the systems are breaking down and they don't have an answer. So all they can think about is control and more of the same. Listen, a lot of these things, they're not, you didn't do that. You could have participated in certain things, but it wasn't your design. So now we have to create that which is going to work for the all. So that's what we do right now. Let's bridge things through this rough patch. Let's be there for each other. Let's help each other. Let's move forward in our own humanity. Let's move forward from a higher level, from a higher frequency. Don't do things out of fear and concern, but do them out of just a clear-headed resolve, courage, and an understanding of what needs to be done, and then do it. And bless each other. And I'm going to leave you all with a blessing today. We're going to pray for one another. Father, we just want to say thank you so much for this day. We thank you, Father, for one another, and we bless one another in Jesus' name, the manifestation of truth upon this earth and in human form. So as he showed us what to do and how to do it, we understand that example and we move in that example and in the power of that name and in the power of the representation of what that name is and what that name does and who we are in that. So thank you, Father. Thank you for who we are, one in you. Thank you for who we are as a manifestation of you upon the earth at this time, because that life that is in us is in connection and flows from you and flows from the source of all things. So right now, we just want to say thank you, and we bless the work of each other's hands right now, and we just ask for strengthening within our inner being. And we completely deny our consents to the world and to the world system and to all that it is. And we instead go forward in the power of creation of who we are and the true life that is to be manifest upon the earth at this time. So thank you. May our projects and may all of our efforts be a blessing to one another as we work to do that and as we combine our hearts and our minds towards that. We bless one another. We reject the fear and we reject the programs, the failed programs, and all those that are part of them. We reject that and we go forward in confidence and assurance and an understanding of who we are and the times we're in, and our call to rise up and be who we've always meant to be. Thank you. We bless this day, and we bless one another. In Jesus' name, we do thank you, and we also go forward, and we appreciate one another. Blessings. Blessings to everyone. All right. Well, we'll catch up with you again really soon. Drop us an email, faithmix@gmail.com. You can always say hi. All right. Bless you. We'll talk to you again. Bye.